Savior is about to come back for his bride, whom he has washed and cleansed and made holy, without spot or wrinkle, by his blood which he shed on the cross for us. You ambassadors of Christ, you soldiers of the cross, you precious diamonds, stand up tall and straight, be counted, be recognized, be identified, and rejoice in the soon coming back of the Lord our God.
I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry o'er the future, for I know what Jesus said. And today I walk beside him, for he knows what is ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't try to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. Every step is getting brighter as the golden stairs I climb. Every burden's getting lighter, every cloud is silver lined. There the sun is always shining, there no tears will dim the eyes. At the end of the rainbow, where the mountains touch the sky. Many things about tomorrow I don't try to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. But I know
I have been teaching on the subject that we need to know who our enemies are. Who are the enemies of the peoples of this planet? What is their motives? Why are they so adamant about bringing destruction upon the human being? We know for a fact that throughout the Word of God, the Bible teaches us that Satan is our enemy. When Jesus came on the scene, he made it very clear that it was Satan who was stealing, killing, and destroying. And we need to understand that and focus our attention to that. The Lord God left us without excuse. The Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, very clearly describe to us on how Satan operates, how demons operate, what they do. When you read through scriptures, the New Testament, the New Testament very clearly teaches us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, meaning our fellow human being is not the problem. The problem lies deeper. Our problem is principalities and powers, rulers of darkness. In other words, it's the demonic forces that cause the problems that we're into. And we need to recognize that and start seeking the Word of God on how to combat them. God has given us instruction. He has shown us that greater works will we do than he did. And what are these works? These works are to short current the enemy, to sabotage them, to come against them and fight against them. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ did, and that's what he expects from us. Because he says, as my Father has sent me, even so I send you. But the devil, for some reason, has a lot of the church world in confusion and at each other's throats. And I want to bring forth a few scriptures today that I believe the Lord God wants me to make clear. They cover different angles of warfare. But before we get into this message, I will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I come before you in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, that you will anoint this message, open our hearts to your word so that we can understand and recognize who we are and what we ought to do. So, dear Jesus, I thank you for the word of God. You will bless us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Preaching the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ is the utmost importance to God. He has called us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. But we are being short-currented. We are being sabotaged by the demonic forces of evil. Instead of being with one mind and one heart and one soul, we fight against one another because we allow demonic activity to rule us. This is a very plain and simple way of explaining it. Demonic activity is evident when we are in judgment to other ministries and to other people because we do not recognize the power that underlines the problems in other people. So instead of praying for them and seeking the Lord in their situation, we backbite. This is what it's all about. We need to understand who the real enemy is. And when we go out to minister the word, and when we go out to be God's representatives, we have to be careful. We need to have an insight into the heart of God. There is a scripture found in Matthew chapter 7, verse 6. And I have been studying this scripture for years and couldn't quite put my finger on it until the Holy Spirit revealed what it meant. It says, "Give not which is holy unto dogs, neither cast you your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you." In most cases, people would think that we shouldn't, there are some people, some unbelievers, that we should not preach to. But that would be anti-scriptural. Every unbeliever needs to hear the gospel. So we know for a fact that this scripture does not mean the unbeliever, because God told us to go and preach the gospel. Then who does God call swine and dogs here? When we really study the scripture before that, it teaches us not to judge our brethren, because we will be hypocrites if we do. So how do we justify the scripture calling brothers and sisters swine and dogs? I will explain this to you, and I want you to listen very carefully. It's not that they're called swine and dogs in an actual way. It's not that this is what they are, but they take on the nature of a swine and a dog. It says, cast not your pearls before the swine, for they will trample them under their feet, and give not which is holy unto dogs, for he will rend you. He'll turn against you. He'll bite you. I want to ask you, if the Lord shows you something, how, and you communicate it to other believers, how often do they trample it under feet? How often do you start an argument where there is a almost like a dog-eat-dog argument? When you watch a minister on TV and he expresses something out of the Word of God and you don't agree with it, what do you do with it? You trample it under feet. You do not put it in your heart to study it. You just reject it straight out, and that is trampling it under your feet. So instead of receiving from what the minister of God is showing, you cast it aside, trample it underfoot, so you take on the nature of a swine instantly. Or you start condemning. That means taking on the nature of a dog. I want you to look at yourself. How often are we guilty of becoming swines and dogs in God's church? We have to admit that we're all guilty. This is why I say, first of all, be careful. If God gives you a revelation on who you present it to. When I bring forth a revelation from God, I find scripture first to show you that what I'm teaching you is from the Word of God. But today, many people reject the Word of God for the commandments of man. They would rather take what their church has taught them. So whatever you teach them or show them, they trample it underfoot, and in many cases, they will turn against you and fight you. This is very interesting. So study the scripture. See if you are guilty of one of these accusations here. So be careful who you share your revelations with. But most of all, be careful when somebody shares a revelation with you. Make sure before you start to bring accusation that you know all the facts. One word of advice: if there is a preacher out there who preaches that the only way into heaven is through the blood of Jesus, then be respectful, regardless who that preacher is. Because in a lot of cases, we don't know all the facts. And then there is a scripture found in John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. I want you to pay close attention to this. It tells us in verse 31, "Then said Jesus to these Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." It tells us here, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. What does the word indeed mean? If you are going to do something, it's a deed that you're doing. What is Jesus telling us here? If you're really into my word and you are obedient to it, then you are my disciple indeed. You're doing something with what you're learning. And then once you start doing what God has commanded you to do. And then it tells us, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If you are going to sit on the information that you have and not do anything about it, then I can honestly say you will go dormant. Because the Bible teaches us the only way you'll get the real truth is when you start operating. Indeed, you will be doing what God has called you to do. So regardless in what direction God is showing you to walk in, whether it's to study prophecy, whether it's to preach the gospel, whether it's to cast out devils, whether it's to pray in tongues so that demons will be kept back, any of those things, you go through scriptures, there's many things that God's people are called to do. And we each have a specific position. If we will do what he has called us to do, indeed, it says, then we will know the truth, and the truth will set us free. This is very interesting. This is how it works. Even in a job, let's say you work on a job, you can know all about it from books. You can have studied university or wherever you are. You know everything. But then you go to the job site. If you don't start practicing or working at what you have learned, you are not going to accomplish a thing. This is exactly how it works in God's kingdom. The Word of God very plainly teaches us in John chapter 14, verse 12, greater works will you do than I did. What does that mean? Will we individually do greater works than Jesus? No, we are an army. Together we will do what Jesus said. We will do greater works than he did. For instance, Jesus only preached freedom in the country of Israel, in Judea. But we have been spread out all over the world. We have brought this gospel to the whole world already. So there is proof already that we're doing greater works than Jesus did. Take that for an example, and you will with joy be able to fulfill the commission that you're in. You're part of the body of Christ. You're in this big army that is joined together with many believers doing more than Jesus did. Not by yourself, but together with the body of Christ. And then in John chapter 7, verse 24, it says, judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. So if you see a brother or a sister operating, don't judge them by appearance, but judge righteous judgments. Get all the facts down. Don't take it from hearsay, because people as a rule have a way of twisting things. Check out yourself if you're really interested. I have a way of operating. When I watch somebody on TV, if I watch a minister, if there's something I don't quite agree with, I simply switch the channel or turn the radio station away, because I don't want to judge the person. And you know what? Usually when you later on get back on the same subject, listen to him, then it becomes clear to you because you have matured in your thinking. But most of all, I want to encourage you. Preach Jesus wherever you are. Being a kind person, helping the poor is a good thing. But the most important thing is preach the Lord Jesus Christ, because every person has to one day appear before the judgment. And if they don't know Jesus, regardless how you helped him, he will still go to hell. And that's a horrifying place. I want you to know, this is why God has called us to do the ministry. It is to redeem people from the lake of fire. And the only people who are qualified are those whom God has sent. We bring them to the Master, and the Master cleans them up. He makes them ready for the kingdom of God. So, for those of you who don't know the Lord, turn to him. We still have time left. The Lord is willing that none shall perish. The Lord will open your heart to these awesome truths and make you a blessing. Amen.
Christ was crucified, and for me he died, so from sin's bondage I could be free. Then he rose again, he's at the Father's right hand, interceding for my every need. I'm glad to know that I know Jesus. I am his and he is mine, and it gives me peace of mind just to know.
Studies the four Gospels, we can clearly see and recognize who the enemies were of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were the Pharisees, the religious systems of the day. And we can understand why they were doing what they were doing. They were infested with demonic activity. You can see the demonic influenced activities that they were into. When Jesus was crucified, the Pharisees incited the crowds with a hatred towards the Lord Jesus Christ, that they condemned him to die on the cross. And that was demon influenced. When you study that whole situation, you can see that it's not natural for a person to operate that way. It has to come from some other power. I was studying John chapter 9 when the Lord Jesus Christ healed a person from blindness who was born blind. And the Pharisees just could not accept the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ would do something like that on the Sabbath day. See how they were nitpicking? They had this problem with Jesus healing people on the Sabbath. And they thought that because he was doing it on the Sabbath, then he could not be from God. Personally, I believe that was an excuse to find fault with him. They asked the guy who got healed, "Who is it that healed you?" even though they knew it. They asked his parents, and his parents were so scared that they said, "Ask him." That's how much influence they had over people, that even his parents, in the excitement of their child being healed, could not stand up against those demon-influenced people. And when the person who was healed asked the Pharisees if they would like to be his disciples, because they were so interested in who healed him, they became furious. It says, they answered and said unto him, "Thou wast altogether born in sin, and dost thou teach us?" And they cast him out. They did not care whether Jesus did something good. Their only motive was to try to somehow find fault with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I am afraid this is what's happening to many of the people who call themselves Christians today. When they hear of a ministry who has a healing ministry, they watch them on TV. Instead of being excited about the healings that take place, they start to find fault. The spirit of disbelief comes upon him. The next thing they ask, how much money does he have? What kind of a house does he have? Is he doing this? Is he doing that? Is he paying his taxes? On the accusations go. Instead of rejoicing in what they're seeing and what they're hearing, they start to point the finger. I want you to take a word of advice. Before you start accusing somebody, go and check it out for yourself and come with a heart that is searching, or you will go away like the Pharisees. The Pharisees came to check out Jesus. They saw him heal the sick. They saw him cast out devils. But what did they do? Even with the big proof they had, they became more furious and sought to kill him. And this, sad to say, is the problem with many Christians today. So seek out the Lord. Check out your heart, because Jesus is soon coming back. Then he will open our hearts to the truth of the hardness of the heart we had. This is going to be an incredible judgment day, the judgment seat of Christ. So look at yourself. Bring yourself before the Lord and repent of any evil that could be there, because usually there's demonic forces at the bottom of it. So open your heart to the Lord and become a blessing to many. Amen.
Here at Reaching Out Ministries, we would like to thank you for your generous support. Please continue to pray for us as we press on in the call that God has placed before us. We would love to hear from you. Please write to us at Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2.